Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I am scheduled to speak with Cheryl Costa this evening, but she hasn't called in. I'm going to see if I can give her a call on her number, which she did. I'm glad she sent that to me. She said, in case there was a glitch. So, let's see what we can do here. So, bear with me. She's got a really interesting book. Huge book on UFO sightings. And we've got a ring.
Cheryl.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Cheryl, this is Mark Snyder from Ohio Exopolitics. How are you?
Very good.
You know, did you just call in? Because I think I called you at the same exact moment that you called in.
Oh, no, actually I didn't.
Okay,
I was going down to call you, so.
Okay. So I kind of beat you to the punch a little bit.
Yes, you did.
So
we're good. We're set to go.
Yeah, I think we are good. And I'm glad we were able to get in touch with each other. And you've written a book. It's called UFO Sightings Desk Reference. And we had you on the show back in March.
Right.
And we had a very interesting discussion. Do what?
I'm just telling my spouse I'm going down to my nest.
Okay. Let Cheryl go downstairs where
she's
got some privacy.
Well, I have my computer down here. We're not on the air yet, right?
Yes, we are on the air.
I'm terribly sorry. Oh, my God, I am so terribly sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's not a problem.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, I wrote the book. Linda and I wrote the book, The UFO Sightings Desk Reference, United States of America 2001 through 2015. And we published it back in late March.
So I think it says in the book there was 100,000 sightings of UFOs during the first 15 years of this
century.
121,000. Okay. So if we took, say, just 15 times 365 for 15 years, that would be like 5,475 days. And if we divided that into 100,000, that comes out to be about 18 UFO sightings every day for the past 15 years. That's pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. Now, the thing your audience has to keep in mind, though, back in 2001, it was only about 3,400, and then it grew up to around 12,000 towards the end of the 15 years. But that's a good average. That is a very good average.
So we were getting more UFO sightings rather than less?
Yeah, it went up in three waves. I have the book right here too. I can I can read it off to you. Yeah, it went up to three waves. It was now we're talking the United States now, and all of it averaged together. The first couple of years were in the I got my glasses on. Okay, from 2001 to 2006, it was 34.79 in 2001 and 49.05 in 2006. Okay, it mm-hmm. starts to jump up in 2007. It jumps up to about 6,100, and then the next jump again is in 2011. It jumps up from around the 8,000 range up to about 10,000, and then one more, and then we have one more jump, and then with that last jump, we're in the 14,000 and 11,000 range.
Now that's interesting because that's an incredible number of sightings, but it's really strange that more scientists don't consider investigating these sightings. You would think the data would be interesting to them.
Well, okay, there's two schools of thought here, and I was going nine rounds with somebody a couple of weeks ago about this. I had several people ask me, well, you didn't vet all of these things, and that was never the intention. Okay, the intention, we weren't out to prove that they're all flying saucers. Only thing we were out to prove was the fact that there had been for years, people were saying that UFOs had been declining since the 80s, and maybe they had all been an urban legend. Okay.
Yeah.
And I read a story like this, November 4th, 2012. It was a sidebar story on CNN.com, and I was working at a different newspaper in the production department at that time, and we had just put the morning paper to bed. This is about 11:30 at night. And the presses were thundering and rolling, and all I had to do at that point, unless something broke, all I had to do was basically sit back and wait for them to finish the run, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And several thousand, about 12,000-15,000 papers. So it was cranking along, and so I went on to see if there was any particular news going on or anything like this, and I saw this little sidebar story on CNN.com. And I read this little story, and I'm going, that doesn't feel right. Now, I was never any kind of a UFO activist at that point. I was simply just somebody who'd been reading a lot over the years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first time in my life, I Googled the MUFON site, and I went out there and got some yearly totals from about 1980 or late 80s, maybe 85 on, up to about 1999. And I just wrote the yearly totals down. That's all I did. And I stuck it on a Excel spreadsheet, and I did a quick plot. And I almost could see it before I actually ran the plot, but just looking at the numbers, but the numbers went up like a rocket. And I'm going, what memo didn't the UFOs get? You know?
Right.
And that's what got me going. And I went around and I talked to some editors at the paper I was working for. They weren't interested. In fact, down to the point where some of them were making fun of me for even asking to write a column, either on the online edition or maybe be included in the print edition. And so I went to some other papers in upstate New York, and I got laughed out quite a few offices, and if not thrown out. And then finally I went to the weekly paper Syracuse New Times, and the editor at that time was Larry Dietrich, and I went in to see Larry. I had told him on the phone what it was about, and he said, come on in, let's talk. And before he even looked at the five or six pieces of paper, printouts I had from my PowerPoint, five slides worth of PowerPoint pitch. That's all I had. Before he even looked at that, we sat there and talked for 45 minutes about UFOs, just in general. And mm-hmm. he had read most of the books that I had read. You know, he had asked me about a particular author, and we talked about the books that guy wrote, you know, and have you ever read Stan Friedman, you know, have you ever read, you know, he ran off a little list, and we sat there and talked about these people. And so he had read a lot of stuff that I had read. And then he said, okay, go ahead and show me your slides. And I showed him the pitch of what I thought would work on the online edition, since people were still bringing their online editions of newspapers up. And he says, well, let's try it for a month. So I gave him four articles, one each week. And he told me, he says, well, in a month I'll let you know, you know. So he gives me a call, and he calls me up and says, come on in. And I thought, oh, boy, that's it. And it's all over. And I got in, and I said, I suppose you're taking me out. And he says, no, I'm not. And he says, just keep doing what you're doing. I says, so it's okay? He says, more than okay. You're pulling more page views than all the columnists combined.
Wow.
So the topic had interest, and that was my pitch. And most people just heard the topic and laughed me off. But the argument was, my argument to him is, we're here to sell page views. We're here to sell newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And this topic is of a lot of interest to a lot of people. And that's how we got to write the column. Last week we celebrated 4 years of writing the column.
So you're writing a column for a newspaper. Is it in Syracuse?
Syracuse, New York, SyracuseNewTimes.com. And if people go to SyracuseNewTimes.com, on the navigation bar, they'll see blogs. If they hover their mouse over blogs, they'll see a little drop down, and you'll see one there that says New York Skies, and it's usually in parentheses after it says UFO blog. You click on that, and you'll get the latest column. The one we just put up most recently. Usually I'm a Friday person, so I usually my column usually is posted by 5 o'clock on Friday. I have a deadline of Thursday. Sometimes if they got something big going on in town, some big, you know, beer festival or the Polish festival or something, sometimes because they're covering that, they don't get it in until Monday. But the bottom line is I'm a Friday person, and they have me up on Friday. And then the other thing you have, what's the beauty of this column is that if you're reading one of the articles, down on the side of there, you'll see tags. If you click on the tag for the blog itself, you'll get probably the last 3 years worth of, you'll get an inventory of the last 3 years of articles, probably around 15 articles a pop on separate pages. So I've had people literally, after the book came out, read about me and they found that, and they sat down over a weekend and binge-read all my articles. You know, they're typically somewhere between 300 and 700 words, typically about 300 to 500 words. Lately, I've been getting a little long-winded, but that's what people have been doing. Now, I started out the column doing strictly sightings. Basically, I would go into the MUFON or the New Fork database in the New York one. New York was my beat. And that's changed recently. I'm starting to talk about sightings other places. And I would just look through for something that looked interesting. And if there's a good write-up on it, there was more than 2 lines worth of write-up about it, I would, you know, we don't know who put these things up, you know. So I would sometimes make a little bit different story. I would say Jack and Susie were riding, you know, if they said we were out riding our bicycles, well, suddenly I put a name to it. Jack and Susie were riding their bicycles, and they saw this, that, the other thing, and this is what happened. And that's how I usually approach it. You know, I'll put a name, but there's no real names involved with these things. My editor and I talked about this early on and said, oh, no, we're not going to out anybody. We're going to respect the privacy. So, and because I'm not your classic journalist, I'm what they call, I have a degree in entertainment writing, I get to take a little bit more flowered license with the story. The facts are all there, but how I tell the story isn't necessarily you know, exactly. It's exactly how they describe it in the sighting, but if I put some names with it or something like that, that's something to make it personal.
So can you tell us a little bit about one of your recent articles?
Let's see. The most recent one that went up today was about, there's a new I'll share this with you and your audience here. Give me a moment. Hang on one moment. Okay, I had to do a password here. The new article today is that Fox Pictures sponsored in the last 2 weeks of July, they sponsored, actually middle 2 weeks of July, they sponsored a poll, national poll, about whether people believe in UFOs, if they believe in abductions, that they believe aliens have come here, that kind of thing. And so this is the most recent poll done. There hadn't been a poll like this done since, a national poll like this done since 2012 when National Geographic did it. Okay? And I got some good stats here. I'll share them with you. Just give me one moment to pull the screen up here. They sent me, I could have had it up last week, but the problem was they sent me so much data, it took me a week to go through it just to try and understand what the poll had done. There was a lot to it. So I condensed it down. It basically amounts to this, they did this, Fox Pictures did this because they did a movie recently called Phoenix Forgotten. And it's basically a horror story set against the backdrop of the Phoenix Lights. It's an abduction story. Okay? It's that part's fictitious. Three teenagers came up missing, that type of thing is the flavor of their story. But the whole thing with the Phoenix Lights, that all happened. The whole Phoenix Lights phenomena happened, and it was a big deal. I mean, I don't know if your audience knows about the Phoenix Lights. You can Google a lot on them, but the craft that people saw when they started seeing these stationary lights, they moved over a space of like 300 miles from the Nevada state line as it was entering into Arizona. And they moved southeast over Phoenix, and the craft was said to be one of these triangular boomerang shaped type craft, several football fields long, people claim, blotted out the stars for blocks, kind of thing. And it continued to move towards the Tucson region, and the last sighting of it was down in the Mexican state of Sonora, just across, just south of the border. And then there was a second sighting, but we think that was the one that was trumped up by the Air Force, where they had fighter jets go out there and deploy flares, and that's what the Air Force claimed all of it was to begin with.
Right.
Okay, let me give you some. Do you have to stop for a break or anything? Because I got some great numbers here for you.
Oh, keep rolling.
Okay, in this July 2017 survey, now this is the hottest, folks out there listening, this is the hottest numbers coming out. 1,756 Americans ranging in age from 18 to 55. The gender ratio was 68% female, 31% male. And the regional samplings were 34% in the West, 18% in the Midwest, 30% in the South, and 16% in the Northeast. Okay, that's kind of the ratio. Most everybody had a 99% had a high school education, and the vast majority of them had attended some level of college from as little as 1 year through graduate degrees. Okay, there was actually probably most of that whole range of people who attended college had at least a bachelor's degree. Okay, that's the sample. The survey reported that 47% of Americans believe in aliens, believe that they exist. That works out to about 150 million people. Okay, we have a population of 320 million people. That is up 5% from the 2012 survey that National Geographic did.
So we're slowly increasing then.
Yes, Yes. They said that the survey also reported that 38.78% of Americans believe that aliens have visited the Earth before. That's about 124 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it also reported that 16.74% say that they've seen a UFO. Now, this is what gets really wild, and I had to do some real interesting math about this. They said 16.74%. That works out to 53 million people say they've seen a UFO. Well, we used to say the ratio was 1 in 10. Well, this survey suggests it's 1 in 6.
Wow. That's huge.
That is huge. And the other thing that happened with that number is the largest percentage was 39% of the respondents were over 55. So I assumed, okay, let's take a window of 50 years. They didn't tell us, you know, when they saw these things, okay? But since they thought it was people over 55, I'm 65 years old. So I said, okay, I was a teenager in 67, so let's say 50 years, okay? 1967 to 2017, there's 50 years, okay? If we divide the 53 million by 50 years, that's 1 million sightings per year. Now, my numbers from my book, we took the 1 in 10 number, took that 121,000 times 10, that gave us 1.2 million. The numbers are very close.
Huh, that is interesting.
Because only a certain percentage of people report them.
Yeah. Probably a rather small percentage, I would say.
Well, Stanton Friedman and some other people have done little surveys and big conventions and college talks. Stanton Friedman was the number I used his number. He has people stand up and he'll say, "Hey, how many? Raise your hand if you've seen a UFO." And almost everybody's hand goes up. And then he says, how many people reported it? And he's got people out in the audience counting, and it always works out to about 10%. So, like, 1 in 10. Okay, so that's why we took the 1 in 10 number. We times our 121,000 by 10, and what did we get? We got 1.2 million. And I've told people this on the radio different places since the book came out. I said, you know, yeah, we had 121,000 sightings in the last 15 years, and yeah, that sounds like a lot, but only 1 in 10 reports this stuff, and maybe it's more like a million. And now this new survey comes out and says something in the order of 53 million people have said they've seen a UFO, 16% of the population. And we're going, oh, my God, that's about a million sightings a year. So there's a lot more going on that people aren't talking about.
That's very, very interesting. So what are your thoughts on the phenomena? Do you think that, I mean, with those kinds of numbers, obviously, people in high places know something is going on, and obviously there is some kind of cover-up. Do you have any personal opinions on why this information is covered up?
Power. Those who know have power over those who don't know.
Exactly.
Let me give you one flavor. I wrote a paper. I finished my bachelor's degree about three or four years ago, and took me 40 years to get it. But it was like a lifetime of education. I took courses every place I lived as I got transferred around with my corporate job and while I was in the military. So over 40 years, I probably racked up enough credits for 2 degrees, but I finally settled here in Syracuse, in a New York State school that was very liberal about taking credit, only made me take 30 credit hours of residency. So I was able to get my bachelor's degree in about a year and a half, 2 years, which was nice. It was just a matter of taking enough courses to qualify for their residency. Okay, here's the deal. In one of the papers, I made a comment that back in the 40s, You know, and we knew from the 1930 time frame, late 1930s, from the War of the Worlds, people thought the Martians were landing with Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. Okay? They heard it on the radio. Oh, my God. But maybe they didn't hear the whole show, so they thought, oh, my God, the aliens are invading New Jersey. People were going out in the street with their guns, ready to fight the Martians. Okay? So there was a genuine fear. So here we are 10 years later, we'll say Roswell. And actually, there was supposedly we've heard stories of other crashes that may have occurred during the war, okay? But after World War II in 47, I didn't used to think Roswell happened personally until I started doing some research for my column. And I ran across a paper that was done by a NICAP guy back in the 60s. And when I looked at his statistics, I about fell off my chair because that confirmed Roswell for me. There was a lot more going on than just Roswell at that time, okay? But we'll get into that in a minute. The thing is, in the 1940s, any representations of people from other worlds was always represented with the slimy green. Well, I was black in my film in those days. The slimy bug-eyed monster. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always going to be some big horrible bug, so to speak. And these days, there's been an effort to educate our people. And these days, aliens are most revered characters in our science fiction. Mr. Spock, Luke Skywalker, Doctor Who. Okay, there you go. These characters are now among our most revered characters, and most of them are humanoid or something close to that. Okay, so that's the deal. So there's been an effort to educate our culture, and I think that's the important thing. But the thing is, I think people who were in the know in the government lost track of that education thing, effort. I know that in the early 1970s, I was in the service. I was in Vietnam in 1971 to 72. I remember in the fall of 1971 hearing newscasts on Armed Forces Radio about the CIA and the Defense Department giving classified briefings to a bunch of young filmmakers University of Southern California and UCLA film schools. Okay, that was about the same time Steven Spielberg, Francis Ford Coppola, and a bunch of these their compatriots went to film school. Now, look at the stuff that Steven Spielberg's done over the years. It's like the guy had inside information.
Right.
Especially if you look at Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know. And then if you look, I used to live in a monastery, so we didn't have cable. So in the early 2000s, I never got to see the television program that was on a sci-fi channel called Taken about abductions, and it spanned over 40 years across three families dealing with abductions from, we'll say, Roswell. It was a fictional story, but it was built against I'm going to call it, as the television producers call it, the mythology of the UFO story. Okay, what we think that the real story is, and I sat there and looked at that, and my spouse looked at that, and I said, "This has just been in the last 3 days. I watched this series. We binge watched it last weekend." And I sat there and looked at it at one point. I said, "Whoever wrote this thing really had their finger on the pulse of this whole story, or they've got inside information here. There's too much that's running parallel to what we know to be true." Okay? And so I was really quite impressed with it. Let me finish something else up with the statistics. This is considering we were just talking about abductions. The survey reported that 18% of Americans believe that abductions happen. That's about 56 million people, or about 1 in 5. It also reported that 27% of Americans know someone who claims to have seen a UFO, which is about 86 million, or about 1 in 4 people know somebody who's seen something. I think that's pretty cool myself.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's...
Now,
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to take you off on a different tangent, so finish your train of thought there.
Keep with me a moment. Let me give you another story. This is something I put up yesterday, okay? And in fact, I didn't publish it through the paper. I wrote this and put this up across all the groups that I boost to in Facebook. Who are we and what they aren't? Okay? And I hear people say we are ready to meet extraterrestrials. I think that the statement should read, we are ready to know that extraterrestrials are real and have visited Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But are we ready to really meet extraterrestrials? That suggests that we as humans are ready to be open and meet other cultures and other species. We have overwhelmingly proved that we're not, just by the fact that we, as humans, we are bigoted and xenophobic in regards to our own people.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And this, it goes from everything to gender, to skin color, to GLBT, all of this. And if we, and then God forbid, people from other cultures, right now we've got people in the government trying to keep people from certain specific countries from coming here, So you've got this whole flavor of us versus them. And the way I looked at it, I said, as human species, if we can't be courteous and loving and understanding to the colorful and diverse human beings that walk among us now, how the hell can we ever be able to relate to off-world species? Will we simply view them as intelligent animals or insects lacking of souls and send our military out to kill them on missions referred to as bug hunts?
Mm-hmm.
I offer that humans are not ready to walk hand in hand on this planet with off-world species. I'm all for disclosure. Hey, own up. Tell us they're out there. Tell us we're not alone. I'm there with you. But are we ready to have, excuse the expression, like they had in the television program Enterprise? They had a Vulcan consulate in San Francisco. I don't think we're ready to have off-world consulates and ambassadors in embassies on this planet. I don't think we're ready for it.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I think there is kind of an informal disclosure taking place. You mentioned the screen or the directors or the producers that were kind of given inside information by certain government agencies or certain people in the military. And I think that's what's happening, is that the movies are kind of an informal kind of disclosure taking place. That way it's not threatening.
Hollywood knows how to educate. They used Hollywood very, very effectively during the Second World War to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's been a continuous drip, drip, drip of education, information, all of that sort of thing.
And I think that's good, because then it's not forced on people that are not ready. I think there are still some people that may not be real ready for this kind of stuff.
Well, what this survey that I was just sharing with you didn't reveal, that the National Geographic one did a couple of years back, 2012. The National Geographic one said 42% believe in aliens, flat out believe in UFOs and aliens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next 40-some-odd percent was on the fence about it. They want more information. They need a little bit more prodding to get there, but they're leaving the door open. and then 17% flat out don't believe.
Right.
Now, those are the ones who are going to go lock themselves in the cellar when if the president ever stands up with the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State standing behind him on CNN or at the White House press briefing and say, I, President so-and-so, wish to tell you the United States has been in contact with a space-faring race and we're in diplomatic negotiations with them now. And that press briefing will make a certain portion of our culture melt down.
Exactly.
Right.
I agree with you.
Seriously drunk.
at least.
It's 20% of our culture, they figure.
Is it that much?
Well, 17%, according to that poll.
So that would be tens of millions of people at the very least.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Let's see, we've got 320 million times 0.17, and that's 54 million people. That's almost as many people as said they've seen a UFO.
My goodness. That's a lot of people in a traumatized mentality state. I mean, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, it is. that is the equivalent population of that's most of the population of California.
My goodness,
there are like 42 million people there. You know, I mean that's a good chunk of people. Now, when you break it up against, you know, average it across the country, it's not that big a deal. But you know, just in my town here, we're about 125,000. So 125,000. Times 0.17, that's about 21,000 people.
My goodness.
That's enough to start a really decent riot, you know?
Yeah. At the very least, right?
That's the problem. That's what we've got to deal with. We've got to do some very heavy, serious education. And it used to be simpler when you had three or four television networks, you know? But now you've got thousands of channels, okay, not counting the streaming services. It's how difficult to get one message out there or get everybody into being one audience.
Well, I'm really glad we're having this discussion because I have other guests on that are very gung-ho for an official disclosure, you know, like you explained, like the president or the vice president coming out and saying something like that. But I don't think they have really thought this through completely. Because 17% of the population being traumatized like that's not a good thing. And I think an informal disclosure like what's happening right now, like what's happening on the show, like the book you've been writing or have written, this is a good kind of disclosure because people that are ready can get the information. But we're not forcing it, right?
Yeah. Can I give you an example? My favorite coffee shop has a big coffee table, and people put various locally made coffee table books on it. Well, there's a copy of my book on the coffee table. And I have sat at a table, especially after the book first came out, I'd sit at a table a short distance from them, and I would just watch people come and sit at that coffee table. And they'll see the book, and they'll start leafing through it, and they look at the friend of theirs that's with them and say, no, this can't be legit. Look at the size of these numbers. No, that can't be legit. You know? And then you'll see one of them say, well, my mother wants to see something like this, and you can see him pull their cell phone out, and it looks like a scene from a World War II spy, or a Cold War spy movie, just sitting there with their cell phone taking pictures of the pages in the book.
Really?
You know? Yeah, not the whole book, just a handful of pages like New York State or something like that, you know. But the idea is that people, I'll give you an example. When I was writing the book, I remember this took 16 months, weekends over 16 months, okay? And we found... my barista at the coffee mart, you know, I'd come into work on Monday morning at a bank that I was working for. I was working in a back office facility. And the the barista would say, "Hey, Cheryl, how did you make out with the book this weekend?" "Oh, we did this state or we did that state." Well, one day I said to him, "Well, we finished New York State. There were 5,141 for the 15-year period, 5,141. And this little lady behind me taps me on the shoulder. She said, "5,141 what?" I said, "UFO sightings. We have UFOs in New York State?" "Yeah, 5,000 over the last 15 years. We had to help her to a chair. We watched the color drain from her face."
No kidding. My goodness. Wow.
So, you know, there are a lot of people walking around that are complete, have been told that all this is baloney. Okay? There's no such thing. There's no Easter Bunny. There's no Santa Claus. And there is no UFOs. These aren't the droids you want. Okay?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That is, yeah, that, you know, I have the same, over the years, as I've studied this more and more and read more and more books and done more and more research, and you find out more and you learn more and you find out how deep this rabbit hole goes. I mean, if you have any kind of compassion at all, you can see why you should not force this on certain people. Because what I've learned in the past, whatever, 10 years or whatever, since I've been reading, you know, intensely, is at times been traumatic to me. So anyway, I guess I'm kind of ranting here, but it's good to hear you say this, because a lot of people are very gung-ho on an official disclosure, you know, like, let's get up there and, you know, make them believe or something. I don't know what, you know.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people in the UFO groups on Facebook. I'll put something up with some stats or something like this. And I'll have people in there and say, "Look, you know and I know they exist. Why are you bothering to put the stats up?" And I said, "Well, because there's lots of people who don't know."
Right.
Or don't understand, and they want to know. And that's why I'm making it available to them. And I've had a few people challenge me. "Have you ever given a thought that maybe they're not ready for this information?" It's like the old line from the colonel in...
"You can't handle the truth."
Men. "You can't handle the truth," you know. And
I love that
it's
line.
It's true. It's true. It's a great line, but it's the truth, you know, to some degree.
It is. Yeah.
Well, let me give you another example of public panic. Remember in... Go ahead.
No, this is great. Continue.
Okay. There was a... remember when the movie Independence Day came out? What was it, 96, something like that?
Yeah.
When they were promoting it different places, they had different schemes for promoting it. In Spain, Madrid, Spain, they came on with a paid commercial, like a little infomercial that came on like it was a newscast. Okay, and they showed clips from the movie as part of the newscast. Oh, kind of like they had in the movie. "Hey, big UFOs a mile wide are coming in over Moscow and London and Washington D.C. and da 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 da." They had riots in the streets in Madrid, and it was only an advertisement.
Is that true? That really happened?
That is true. I remember reading it on the wire. Yeah, a lot of people didn't hear about it here, but I was in the news business, and I saw it come across the wire. So I used to be a talk show host on a business talk station in D.C., so I was around radio station a lot.
Do you remember the Hudson River Valley sightings?
The ones in the 70s or the ones in the 80s?
Either or, you know. Those were humongous craft, and they were seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people.
Well, one of the best accounts I saw was posted by a reporter on the Reese Report.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said that he was a reporter for the Poughkeepsie paper. This is like an 85-ish time frame. And there was a county fair going on at the time. And one of these huge wedge-shaped when I say wedge shaped, I'm going to say a boomerang shaped craft came up, flew over the fairground, hovered at one point, they say. 10,000 people saw this, according to the reporter.
Wow.
And he said, like, there were 10 reporters from that paper at that fair. They all took pictures from the ground, from different positions at the state fair or county fair, whatever it was, took them back. Two of the reporters went into the dark room. They didn't want anybody else to touch the stuff. They developed the pictures, made 8x10 black and white glossies, took them into the publisher and chief editor and said, this is what we all saw. And the publisher wouldn't print it.
Gosh. Figures.
Now, did somebody get to him from a national security standpoint, or was he doing a public service by not causing a panic?
That's a good question.
Now, down to the Phoenix Lights, there was a big uproar in Phoenix over the next week or so. Okay, after the Phoenix Lights event, lots of people saw it. It was a lot big portion of the population saw it. Okay, saw the stars being blotted out by whatever this thing was that was going over, and saw the lights up there hovering stationary. Okay, people got video from all over town of this thing. Okay. The governor made fun of it.
Yeah,
now in recent years he's come back and said, look, everybody was nervous, everybody was wound up. I tried to defuse it with a little bit of humor, so I dressed my staff guy up like an alien, okay, and we brought him in cuffs, you know. But amazingly enough, that ended up being a backlash and actually ended up pissing off more people. Excuse me for entering your radio. Ended up ticking people off in a big way. And, of course, there was a councilwoman who spoke up for the people who were screaming about the thing, and she got the opposition party in that town, made her look like an idiot. She lost her office.
Wow.
You know? But and you know what's funny? 20-year anniversary for the Phoenix Lights was March 13th this year, okay? 3 weeks before, we hadn't published the book yet, but we were just starting to do publicity for it. So I reached out to every major outlet down here, all four TV stations and the major newspaper there, the Arizona Republic, okay? I reached out to them. I said, look, you've got a major anniversary coming up about the 20 years ago, the Phoenix Lights. Now, I know you're probably going to do a piece about it, but, okay, so you know, let's look at it as a news person. That's old news. That happened 20 years ago. Would you like to know what's going on right now? And for Phoenix and Maricopa County, it's pretty huge. Would you like to know? And they all stiffed me. I did some research and found out that the Fox station, who I thought would run it, the Fox, NBC, and CBS newsrooms are all in the same room.
That's odd.
It's all by the same company down there.
Oh, okay. Figures. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in what was the news? And this is for your listeners. The number two county in the United States for sightings was Maricopa County, which is essentially the Phoenix region. Okay.
I did not know that.
In my book it says 2019 sightings, which is a huge amount for a single county. Okay, actually the number, we've been cleaning up the database some more because we're working on a cities edition of the book where we can drill down to state, county, and then the municipalities within a county and be able to break those county numbers right down to the city and villages within that county. And we found some subtle spelling errors, and this is from the database, that people spelled Phoenix wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They put the E in front of the O, okay? So we lost about 500 numbers. So the actual number for Maricopa County, instead of being 2019, ended up being 2560 or something like that. That's a huge number for a county. That's bigger than 30, that one county's sightings are more than 36 states have individually.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, and nobody wanted to do a story about it. Now, what I've done in the last couple of weeks, I was trying a different technique to reach out some news outlets. I reached out to I Googled UFOs in Phoenix to see what I would get, and I found a station down there called KTAR radio, and it's a Bonneville station, and they had reported local UFO sightings in some of their newscasts, and it goes on their web news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to their digital news editor, and I said, tell you what. I said, I write a newspaper column up here, and instead of just feeding you the raw data, I'll write you a 300-word story for your web news that you can use on the air and post it on your web news, and it'll be by Cheryl Costas, special to KTAR. They rather liked the idea. And they said, what would it be about? And I said, the fact that the Maricopa County is number two in the United States of over 3,000 counties for UFO sightings. Of over 3,000 counties in the United States, they're number two. And the guy about crapped, and he said, oh, my God, yeah, okay, write that up. So I wrote it up. I didn't hear anything from him for about a week, and then I got an email from the digital editor a couple of days ago that said we're going to run it towards the end of the week. So I expect to see it. If it didn't get to go up today, it might go up over the weekend, if he wasn't lying to me.
So who's the number one county?
Los Angeles County. And now I'm going to make a distinction here. Los Angeles County, not Los Angeles City, okay?
Okay.
Okay, because remember, Los Angeles County is many municipalities within the greater county of Los Angeles. Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, is within it, okay? And it's an important distinction to be made because Los Angeles City is not the biggest city for sightings in the United States.
So
I'm not ready to give you a bigger number for what city's the top state city because we're still cleaning. People didn't spell the names of cities right in the databases,
okay.
And we've been correcting that problem for our cities directly. What we're planning to do is two more books. One called the Cities Directory, where you'll be able to pick out a state, pick out the county, and pick out and then all the municipality sighting and what their sighting numbers are. Okay. The other book is the same data except arranged by be able to pick out a state, pick out a county, and or pick out here's the list of shapes and here's all the counties and what their shapes were for that sample period. It's a shapes directory.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already got a couple of investigators saw like a sample of what I was working on. They said, wow, this would be a powerful tool for an investigator. And I said, yeah, that's why we're doing it. But
excellent.
What I'm doing is I have to touch 121,000 records one at a time to make sure the spelling of the cities are correct.
That's tedious.
I'm 48,000 records in. And I work on it about, one. Thank God I'm retired. I work on it about 1 hour a day. It's very tedious. I've got all the cities lined up, sorted by city, so the spelling's all there. So if I got 13 states worth of states that have the city Corning in it, I can correct the spelling for all of them at once, and then I just move down to the next, whatever the next. So I just keep moving down alphabetically through the things, unless somebody calls me up, like a radio station or something like that, and says, Cheryl, can you tell us what the municipalities are for such, like we'll say Will County in Illinois. I went into Will County, sorted it by just Will County, went in and corrected all the spellings on the city. So sometimes there's some spots there where I've already cleaned up some counties on a one-by-one basis. So because I've had some radio stations and small newspapers reach out to me and say, we'd like to know our regional sighting, and I'd be happy to give it to them. But the bigger papers don't want to touch it. They're blowing it off for the most part.
Hmm.
And that's what messes me up is because I wonder, what is their mentality behind it? Did they drink the Condon Report Kool-Aid and just blew all this off? You know, as I had one reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle tell me, oh, the issue of UFOs was settled long ago when I pitched the story to him before the book came out.
Isn't that absurd?
Yeah, it is.
It's absurd. It's such a
especially
absurd.
When the New York Times broke their 7-year silence on UFOs. They've never spoken nicely about the topic matter till our book came out, and then they said, "Holy God, some little old ladies in upstate New York did the science." You know.
Oh boy, Cheryl, it's been a pleasure talking with you again. Folks, Cheryl's book is, Cheryl Costa is her name. Her book is called UFO Sightings Desk Reference, and it sounds like you've got a new version coming out, but probably won't be out for, what, a year or so?
Probably at the bottom, at least 6 months, okay?
6 months, okay.
Within 6 months, we may put it out sooner. The bottom line, by the way, the book is available at barnesandnoble.com, not in the store, but barnesandnoble.com. You can get the UFO Sightings Desk Reference. You can order it from them, and you can order it from Amazon, anywhere on the planet.
Okay,
We've sold a lot of them in Europe. Linda and I recently were signed to a television deal.
Really?
And, I can't go into details beyond that due to non-disclosure agreements, but part of the reason I have to get this city's directory done is we're going to need it for this. We're going to need it for the television series.
Well, man, that'll be great. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, we are looking forward to it to that as well. We had 8 different producers reach out to us after the New York Times article and the book came out. And it got down to about 3, and then it got down to 2, and then finally it came down to who we signed with. And it wasn't who we thought we were going to sign with. You know, when we got it down to the top 5, it wasn't who we thought we were. It just things shook out funny, and that's how it ended up. And we ended up being with a very good company, and at one point we had the development producer and the in 2 separate Skypes, and the general manager on Skype with both me and Linda sitting here talking to them, and we pitched both of us pitched our concepts to it, and they sent us an agreement, many many page doorstop of a contract, and after our legal eagles got done looking at it, we all signed it. So we're really
excellent.
Excited about this.
And your articles appear at, is it newtimes.com?
Syracuse newtimes.com. And the name of the column is New York Skies. And like I said, there's 3 years worth of articles available at that site.
You guys don't have a website yet?
No, we do everything through the column. We're not doing a separate website for the books at this time. Maybe when the TV show starting to be developed, we'll probably establish one. But right now, there's no need to do that.
Well, I'm glad all of your hard work paid off. You know, I know writing a book is a tremendous task, and you've done a good job, and I think you've made a great contribution.
Thank you. And it is a pleasure to be on your show again. I'm very sorry about how we connected up. Like you said, I was dialing you about the same time you were dialing me. So
it happens. All right. Have a great evening, Cheryl. We'll talk to you later.
Mark, thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.